World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. And I said this the other day. I want to kind of jump off bright and early with this morning. I appreciate all of you out there who tune in every day. I don't know how many it is. I mean, I really don't. But I was telling my wife, what show is this, Spencer? Let me see right here. This is show 2403. Can you think of anything that you've done 2,403 times? I'll eat. I understand. Go to the bathroom. I understand that. But 2,403 times that we've come in here and do what we do. And it's transformed my life. It's changed the entire focus of my life. Because I know that every morning when I get up, we got a gathering of people, and I'm going to throw a piece of red meat on the table. And we're going to slice it up and dice it up, and we're going to chew it up. So some of it will swallow, and some of it will spit it out. And my intention is never to offend anybody, but I don't care if I do. That's not the purpose. See, when you're walking, Jesus was known as the Rock of Offense. Can I put that in everyday crass language? Despite what they've told you in your church, Jesus pissed off a lot of people. Vinny, give me a boom on that one.
Boom.
Thank you. Jesus confronted and pissed off people. And Jesus told us that if we're going to be his followers in Matthew 5, I think it is, that you will be hated of all men. And it's just the exact opposite. Look, does anyone want to be hated? See, we're not hated in that you hate somebody for. You're not hated in a what's the word I'm looking for? You're not in a personal sense, although that's true. They do hate you in the personal sense, but they hate you in that you are promoting what he said. He said it. And he said, they're going to hate you. Why? For my name's sake. They don't hate you. They hate him. And they hate you because you're pointing out you don't line up with him. Oh, yeah, that's what it is. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. What does that mean, for my name's sake? How does Jesus Christ get glorified? By hatred. Lord, just be with us here, Lord. Let the words of our lips and meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight. And today's American Christianity is based upon the exact opposite of this. Tolerance is not Christian, friends. It's not. Have nothing to do. Stop a minute. How much? Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, stop just a second and ask yourself, what does that word right there mean? Unfruitful works of darkness. I'd like to open it up yet, but I'm not going to. Was it Paul that said that? I think Paul said that. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. So first of all, works of darkness are unfruitful. They don't produce fruit. They destroy fruit. You get that? Sex outside of marriage Does that produce good fruit? I'm not talking about the child. I'm not talking about an illegitimate child as a result of an adulterous relationship. Does anything good ever come from adultery? No. No, it doesn't. And we are called to have no fellowship with it. And as tough as this might sound, because it goes against the grain of what they're teaching us in modern Christianity, when you go by a church and it says, everyone welcome, friends, that's not true. The door's open. You're welcome to come in, but you ain't going to come in here and continue to do that mess. Folks, church is not there to get people saved. Church is there to gather saved people together. Vinny, that would have been a good boom. And we've taken the church as a place to go and take people to get people saved. And unfortunately, they have unfruitful works of darkness. Your job is to get them converted and then bring them into the fellowship. Oh, yeah. Exact opposite. Let me ask this question, and I want a response, maybe, okay? Why do we want big churches? I think we'll go sneeze here in a second, so hang on. Why do pastors want large churches? And we'll pause there a second. We'll give some of you a chance to tell me. Beth says big money. You can text it in there. I see it when it pops up. Money. See, I don't believe pastors are wicked. I don't believe that. I believe they're missing the mark. Power, okay. Money, okay. Yeah. Influence, right? I don't think they start out with an idea. I don't know. I really don't know. I tell everybody this. Somebody said, Coach Dave, you need to start a church. I said, dude, that's the last thing we need. Another church. The last thing we need. And so we tend to build upon the way things have always been done in the past. Let me give you a for instance. Bear with me, please. I've got to get this off my chest. I learned to coach by being around other coaches. Throughout my entire career, playing ball, I played all this. I didn't play sissy sports like soccer. Just kidding. I didn't play hockey because it wasn't. I would have played hockey. I played all the other sports. And through all the other sports, I had a lot of different coaches. And some coaches were good, some coaches were bad. And I learned a lot from playing under different coaches. So that when I became, in my own life, decided I wanted to be a football coach, baseball, I coached them all. When I decided I wanted to be a coach, I was a product of many, many people who coached me. Let me stop there a second. Who's coached you? And you remember Woody Hayes? Anybody out there remember Woody Hayes? They used to laugh at Woody Hayes. I'm going to see if there's any Buckeye fans out there. What did they call Woody Hayes at Ohio State, his style of offense in the 1960s? Does anybody remember what they called that? I'll wait a minute, see if anybody responds.
3 yards and a cloud of dust.
3 yards and a cloud of dust. Woody Hayes said, I got a song I could sing. Oh, come, let's sing Ohio's praise and genuflect to Woody Hayes. The word around these hallowed halls, Woody has to iron. If offense strong is defense quick. They run, don't pass, but kick. And when the crowd is yelling, pass, Woody points to the scoreboard, kiss my, finish it, right? Because Woody was 3 yards and a cloud of dust. He hated to pass it, right? Would Woody Hayes be successful in today's college football environment? Where sometimes they don't even have a running back, where all they do is pass it, the evolution of football. Could you take a Could you take a young football coach today and teach him 3 yards in a cloud of dust? Could he be successful at it? Probably could. But it's a whole new way of doing things. Football will never be the same. Ohio State used to go out and every school used to get 25. I don't know if you know this or not. Every school was allowed 25 scholarship athletes. Every school. That's why Woody Hayes was so good. He would get the 25 best players in Ohio. 25 scholarships. Now they're paying the price. Everything changes and evolves. And friends, so does religion. So does religion. If you look around, if you were to ask somebody, if all of a sudden Randy Lunsford said that he wanted to start a church, I've been wondering, boy, I wonder what a church with Randy would be like. I think I know what it wouldn't be like. Let me come back a minute. Let me make a point here. We are all influenced by those who coached us. That was the point I'm trying to make. I don't know if I made it. I wasn't a disciple of Woody Hayes, but I understood the premise of it. And so in American Christianity today, do we ever run a play? Is the American church ever on offense? Despite what you might think, I love pastors. Hey, pastors, you ever run in a play? You ever run a play, or you just come in and huddle? Just come in and huddle. The other side's running all kinds of plays. They're transgenderness and they're homosexualness and they're doing all kinds of stuff. And is American church running any plays? Oh yeah, we're gonna feed the homeless. Well, we're in a war. And the Lord told us, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of ours. It wasn't the Lord, but it was the Holy Spirit through Paul. Reprove him. Hey, Spencer, wake up there. What's reprove mean? What's reprove? Go to Webster. What's that say? Who are you to judge? Hey, who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? Reprove. To blame. To censure. To charge with a fault to the face. To chide. To reprehend. To blame for. To convince of a fault, to refute, to disapprove, to excite a sense of guilt, to manifest silent disapprobation of blame. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful darkness, but rather reprove them. And what's the mantra in church? Who are you to judge? The exact opposite of what Jesus said. It's my greatest frustration. I'm going to take you somewhere today, if you're willing to go with me. A little bit of history. Is anybody busted right now? They got something they want to say. I'm going to stop a minute because I'm going to switch gears. Yeah, free Tina Peters. I'm going to switch gears here a minute. Somebody busted into something you want to say? Come on in now and say it because I'm going a different direction. Come on in, Dave.
Trunk or treat, that's an offensive play. Come as you are, you'll be loved. That's an offensive play. God loves everyone. That's an offensive play.
Who are you to judge? Right? See, folks, with the salt of the earth, not the sugar. I look at what's going on. I look at what's going on in America. We're on the verge of cataclysm. Can I tell you why we are? Because human nature hates change. We hate change. Now, is there anybody looking at me right now that thinks if the American government continues in the same direction it was going before Donald Trump, that America is going to be prosperous and strong, and the leader of the world? Does anybody believe that? Of course not. And so President Trump comes in, say whatever you want. I don't care what you think about him. He said, this system ain't working. We're going to have to make a change. Nobody likes change. But I promise you this. If he burns the whole thing down, then we'll have a chance to rebuild it. But if we don't burn it down, if we don't clean it up, if we don't throw out some things, if we don't punish some things, we will never survive where we are right now. We never will. And everybody's okay. Chad asks us, I don't know if Chad probably slept in on us today. I'm just kidding, Chad. What's Chad say? Everybody's okay with Doge cuts. It's their cut. Oh, yeah, get rid of this, get rid of that, get rid of, yeah, get rid of, oh, not that. Who's calling me here? Go ahead, Mike. Didn't get in. Huh? Are you with me? So we don't want change in the government. We don't want change in the church. We don't want change in our family. Huh? Folks, isn't that what a recovering alcoholic has to do? Doesn't he have to change? At some point, doesn't his wife and his family say to him, dude, you are either going to get some help or we are out of here. And we are in a condition right now that we are going to have to get some help. If we don't get some help, well, we know the help, right? Huh? Righteous men, the gospel of the kingdom of God. We've allowed them to vamoose it. Oh, I got so much stuff to show you here today. George, come on in.
The thing is, with the coming with change, I think we've all come acceptable to change. It depends on how fast the change is, because mm-hmm. we've been infiltrated and changed for years. I think it depends on the rate of speed of change.
And what kind of change, right, George?
Exactly.
What kind of change?
Yeah, and it's this in the speed of it. You know, if it's that slow infiltration over years, you don't see it. You know, you just become blind to it. That's right. When all of a sudden it's an abrupt, like 180 degrees in the other direction, that's when people flip and they don't like change. But we've accepted this change that we're going through for years.
So, George, we're in a situation right now where we're finding out that they are wasting our money.
Oh, yeah.
But what's the reaction of the average person? Well, the average person go for it, right? Mm-hmm. But don't hit my mailbox.
Right. Oh,
don't take that away from me, right?
Right.
Even
though
there's corruption in there, don't take that away from me. It's a great lesson in life, really, friends. Really great. We want change that impacts others, not us. No.
Yeah, Chad else is perfect until it hits your mailbox. It doesn't affect me.
So there are a lot of mailboxes being blasted right now. And everybody, one of the things that players never understood when I coached, I'm just doing this because this is important for us to understand this. Sometimes after practice, I'd go in and we'd get the coaches around in a circle and talk about what we'd break down the practice and everything. And I come to the realization, you know what? These guys are soft. Tomorrow, I'm going to bust them, man. I'm going to bust them. I'm going to find out who's with us and who's against us. I'm going to bust them tomorrow. If they leave, they leave. I'd rather they quit now than down the road. And there was always great results out of it. Very few quit. Most complained. But the level raised. You with me? So we're in a country right now that the level has to be raised, folks. The church, the level of truth, justice, and the American way has to be raised. We have to raise it. Trump ain't going to do it. Is he even a Christian man? I don't know. I don't know why my phone's going off here this morning. I'll get you. Hang on. So who's going to do it? Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. You're the salt of the earth. Huh? You're going to be hated of all men. Folks, that is the gospel. That's the gospel. And for the most part, we won't preach that gospel. How big will your church get if you're hated? And so we justify, well, you know, God, if we bring that up, we start talking about that all the time, Coach Dave, they're not going to come. Well, great. They're not coming. They don't want to hear the truth. Great. Why go to church and get patted on the back, told what a great guy you are, what a great job you're doing, and the devil's eating everybody's lunch? And they're being told we're just doing great. God loves you so much. Folks, from somebody outside who's not saved, who doesn't understand Christianity, we must look like fools. In a world that eats your neighbor, we are trying to love our neighbor. In fact, we love our neighbor so much, we let them eat our children. That's a boom, Vinny. We love our neighbor so much, we let them eat our children.
Boom.
Judge not. Who are you to judge? I'll try to behave here. I got some. Do this real quick, Vinny. Something going on. I'm sorry, Vinny. Mark, I'll get you. I'll be right there, I promise. Hey, Spencer, I couldn't remember your name. Sorry, Spencer. Pull up the email, the trannies. Something going on here. I'm going to get back. Hollywood trannies. Look at this, folks. You tell me something ain't going on. These are the children of Hollywood stars. Robert De Niro's son's tranny. Naomi Watts' son's a tranny. Ben Affleck's daughter's a tranny. Remember when Cher started? You guys remember Sonny and Cher? What was her name? What was his name? Chastity. She's not Chastity anymore. She's what? I don't know. Jennifer Lopez has a tranny. Angelina Jolie has a tranny. Sting has a tranny. The son of Dwayne Wade is a tranny. Jamie Lee Curtis, son's a tranny. Magic Johnson, son's a tranny. What's going on? What the hell is going on?
They do that because they don't have, they fear the sacrifice of killing one of their family members to be where they're at. They would rather do the tranny than to kill. That's why.
Wow. Mark Trump.
Yeah, Coach, going back to your football analogy, this might ruffle some feathers, but whenever you're wearing your jersey around the halls, you're part of something.
You are.
So when you're on the team, there's a peer pressure. And then everyone who's not on that team sees all those people on the team, and there's a division, Coach.
Well, there is.
So let me ask you this. Do you want all of those? Yeah.
Mark, hang on a second. Mark's talking about wearing your jersey to school day. Guys, remember that when you're not in school? Football team all wore their jersey. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, yeah. That division is thick. But if that team is the church, okay, who's the teams? Well, the church people walk around and say, oh, she goes to that Methodist church. Oh, I know him. He goes to that Presbyterian church.
Right.
See, they're part of a different team.
Yeah, amen.
Different team. Each of the pastors recruit. Now, do you want all the students on your football team? Do you want them all on there?
No.
Well, what are the pastors doing recruiting everybody? Is everybody worthy to be on the team Jesus?
Everybody's open to it. Welcome. But no.
Well, are they now? Are the seeds of the serpent welcome, Coach?
No, they're not. That's what I'm saying. You got to clean
up. Wait, not everybody. Not everybody. So even on the football team, you got to do discernment, just like a church. But the pastor lets them all in, LGBT, all of them.
Right.
And that ain't right. That ain't right. Now the LGBT guy gets a jersey. And all the other students are looking at him going, what the heck? How did he make the team? That ain't right, Coach.
That ain't right. Hey, Mark, Megan Fox, big star up there. Three boys dressed like girls. Folks, you see this? There's something deep and dark going on, right? And so
we are not on that team.
We're not on the same team, brother. We're not on the same team. And those people shouldn't be allowed in on our team. They shouldn't be in our huddle, should they? Folks, should they?
Bingo. Boom. They should be in our huddle.
Yes or no? Yes or no? Do you go to church with some people who are pro-choice? Huh? Do you? I don't know if there's anything darker than killing a baby. And you're going to church with people who want to kill babies? You expect the Holy Spirit to show up there?
Amen.
Folks, it's an exclusive club. Many are called. Few are chosen. Bible says, huh? What's it say? Broad is the way. Narrow is the gate. Many come. Few find it.
Amen.
folks, come on. Folks, this is right out of the Bible. You can call me a hate monger. You can call me whatever you want to. Christianity is an exclusive group. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, is getting on the team, he said. And it's the exact opposite of what we're doing in American Christianity. And I wonder how, I want to say this in the right way. What's your faith cost you? I'm going to tell you this. The more I publicly pursue the Lord, publicly, the greater the opposition from those I love. Somebody say a boom. Whoa. See, people would like it like nothing better than for Coach Dave just to be a Jesus loves everybody, come and sit on my lap. Oh, God just loves you just the way. But I'd fill a church, man. I'd fill a stadium. But that ain't the word, man. That ain't the word. You aren't worthy. You aren't worthy to be on God's team. It's only through his grace and mercy that he lets you in. There ain't nothing good about you. There ain't nothing special about you. It ain't your best life now. No. None of that. That is all bogus lies. You are filthy rags before him. And it's only his blood and his grace and his mercy that lets you be on the team. And we see Jesus Christ, who was crucified, died, and buried, and we spit all over his blood when we let the filth come into our midst. I'm just telling
Amen.
You. Amen. You're welcome here, but you ain't gonna keep doing that stuff and be here. You think you're gonna keep doing that and be here? Sorry, I wouldn't put up with it on my football team. Why would I put it up on my Christian team? Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness.
There you go.
Jeff, come on in. Boy, this ain't modern Christianity, is it? I sound like a heretic. You know why? Because I ain't trying to build a church. Go ahead, Jeff.
We need to get back to our old school ways we did things with a baseball team or football team. What we used to hang up? The cut list. We used to look at it like, oh, I got cut. It's like, maybe hang him up in the churches, the cut list.
Yep. Cut list. Those who made the team. Hey, go to the bulletin board in the morning and you'll see the cut list. You'll see who made it and who didn't. There ain't no cut list in Christianity. Everybody's on the team.
It needs to be right on the front door of the church. You are
needs
not
to be one on the front door
get rid of it. Amen.
Huh? Come on, folks. He's righteous. He's righteous. He hates sin so much. He sent his son to die. And we wink and nod at it. Jesus loves everyone. Dude, we got this upside down. See, that's the easiest way they've undermined Christianity. They made it for everybody. And the Bible says just the opposite. Joe Allen, come on in.
Transgenderism out there in L.A., California, other places that we have here, New York, Michigan. Isn't it part of encouraging chaos?
That's said. Well,
Joseph, that's where I was heading today. Maybe I still got. Oh yeah, I got a half hour. I'm going to get into it. Right. I'm going to get in. I'm going to show you some stuff. Rochelle, come on in. I'll get to it here.
Hey, good morning, team. I just wanted to comment real quick, Coach. I had a pastor. This was a long time ago when I was still a Democrat. So like 30 years ago, and I was pro-choice, of course, and the pastors had changed, and this new pastor that came in, he was also pro-choice. And for whatever reason, that didn't sit well with me. I left the church. Even as a crazy pro-choice Democrat, I wanted my spiritual leader to know that it was wrong to kill babies. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. If he doesn't hold up the standard, right?
Right. He's got to hold up. And
so, then, Michelle, let me ask you this: why was it that you, as a Christian, thought it was okay to be pro-life, pro-choice?
Well, as a young person, when I was in school, oh my gosh, looking back, the indoctrination was so intense. I mean, it was evolution, 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 every single, all the time. They convinced me. I came from a mud puddle of mud. I was convinced.
Yeah.
So it's real easy to take that lie and turn the baby into a clump of cells, mm-hmm. and make the woman the victim. And how if a man could get pregnant, oh my gosh, you could have a drive-in abortion. Everything was off-centered. It was all, I believed all of it. I was your flaming liberal. But then, you know, reality sets in and you see the truth and you're like, oh my God, I've been lied to my whole life.
Amen. They call that enlightenment, don't they? The light comes in.
That's right. That's right. And there was this, I'm not going to say his name, but there was this prominent pastor who was talking and he was explaining how God, okay, he was naming some enemies, you know, that especially for me, like Fauci and people who I really don't like. And he said, well, you know, God loves them just as much as he loves you. And that hurt because let me tell you something. I do stuff all the time I don't really want to do because the Spirit wants me to do it. Okay. And think of it, like my dogs, right? They come in, they want to see me. They love me. They listen to me. They go potty outside. They do the right thing. If I had a dog that, you know, bit me and peed in my house and always got away and bit my other dogs, that would not be my favorite dog.
Be a slow death.
I'm sorry to bring it down to such a moral level, but it's hard for me to understand that God loves us all the same. Is that true?
Rochelle, A plus today. You get an A plus today. Because that's it, isn't it? That's it. Folks, can you imagine? I'm thinking about me now. I think I can tell you this. Yeah, I can. Our daughter Maggie's pregnant. Number 5 for her. Our 11th grandchild. Do you have any idea how pissed off I would be if she murdered that baby? Do you guys have any idea how pissed off God is that we're murdering babies? Do you guys have any idea? Why don't we make it personal? Personal. What if that was my baby? What if that was my daughter? What if she was having that abortion and I didn't even know about it? She's killing my heritage. And I don't matter. It's all lies. I'm going somewhere. Hang on. Pull up for me. Number 1. Put it at 1.5 speed. Did you guys know this? Did you see Donald Trump wants to pull back all funding from Harvard? I think you guys saw that, right? Folks, education. We have got to reclaim education. So this guy is Professor William, what was his name? I got it there somewhere. William Jacobson. And he's going to tell you, put it at 1.5 speed. Harvard, places like that. We ought to defund every secular university in America. Listen to what this guy says. 1.5 speed.
President Trump is escalating his fight with Harvard University. Trump threatened to revoke the school's tax-exempt status. Harvard's president condemned the move, calling it destructive and highly illegal. Let's bring in Cornell University law professor and Equal Protection Project founder William Jacobson. William, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Harvard says it's unlawful. Do you think it is?
Well, the president can't just pull somebody's tax-exempt status. That would have to go through the IRS process. So to that extent, they're right.
Slow down. This is important. Put a regular speed. This is important for you to hear. He said the president can't just pull it, but he can orchestrate it that it be pulled. Go ahead.
They're right. It can't just be pulled, but it can be challenged through the IRS process. Famous case of Bob Jones University, which lost its tax-exempt status. But that case took years of litigation.
Bob Jones University, conservative Bob Jones University, the IRS pulled their tax-exempt status because they were taking positions politically. Huh? Oh, yeah. So it has been done. Go ahead.
And went all the way up to the Supreme Court. So while pulling tax-exempt status is kind of like dropping the nuclear bomb in this dispute, it's unlikely to happen anytime soon.
You know, universities have promised to address anti-Semitism, in particular all the highlights that we saw from the Ivy League schools like Harvard. Do you think that they have done that in good faith? Do you think that they've made progress?
Well, the anti-Semitism problem on campuses, which is also an anti-Americanism problem, anti-Westernism problem, anti-capitalism problem, the anti-Semitism is a symptom of a much deeper problem in higher education. And that cultural clash is really what I think is driving a lot of this. Americans are looking at these campuses like Harvard and saying, why are we paying for this? Why are we funding this? And so that's a deeper problem. A lot of what the campuses have done, I think, is window dressing, because there's a core cultural problem on the campuses, which is that for a generation, conservatives have been purged, pro-Israel professors have been purged. At Harvard, for example, 3% of the faculty identify as conservative versus 37% of the American population. 80%.
Reason. 3% of the professors at Harvard would be considered conservative, whatever that means. Now, somebody help me out. Doesn't the Ivy League, aren't they the greatest producers of government people? So 97% of people who go to Harvard and Yale and Cornell and what's the other one, doesn't matter, the Ivy League schools are producing communists on purpose, and we're funding it. Go ahead.
Identify as liberal versus 25%. So, you know, places like Harvard always love to say, we need to look like America, but Harvard and other Ivy League schools don't look like America because they're liberal bubbles. And I think that's the tension that's underlying all this.
When and how did this all start? I mean, this is a sample of one, but 25 years ago on a college campus, there were liberals, there were conservatives. Professors almost invited you to disagree with them, and it was an exchange of ideas. When did that change?
Well, the far left in the United States identify the education system, not just higher education, but also K through 12, as a means by which they could change society. And so they put their efforts into it. And we see, you're right. If you look at polling about 20, 25 years ago, the split between liberal and conservative professors was 60 liberal, 40 conservative. So a balance. We always knew academia was a little to the left. Right now, it's almost 30-1. So what has happened is these activists, such as Bill Ayers and other people who were in the Obama orbit, went into academia and they took over the hiring committees, and they only hired their own for 10, 20, 30 years. So it's like the boiling frog. By the time you realized it's happening, it's too late.
The Department of Education is not renewing this contract that is meant to provide mental health funding, because there are certain spots, according to the Department of Education, that you have to have hiring requirements as part of this. How pervasive is that?
That's a good example of what seemingly would be a good thing to fund, which is mental health help for students, particularly related to school shootings and other traumas like that. But what has happened is the same activists who have purged academia of conservatives have used these funding vehicles to push critical race theory, diversity, equity, and inclusion into the school systems. And I think that's the issue with this program, is that what was supposed to be mental health counseling for students turned into an activist avenue to push DEI and the racialization of education. So people need to understand, it's not just the Harvards of the world. It's not just higher education. The education system in general is really in crisis mode.
All right, William Jacobson.
Amen. Wow. What is it Bobby Lee says? Bobby's not that. I won't say it. So there it is. There it is. And President Trump says, we're going to stop funding these leftist colleges. Harvard has a, what is it, $80 billion, something unbelievable endowment. And Trump says, by the way, what's it cost to go to Harvard? $100,000 a year? And they get all this government money? And the schools are what? Undermining America. The communist infiltrator, which I could get to that here in a second as well. So Trump, love him or hate him, says, hey, we ain't giving any more money to this un-American university to teach lies to our children. And who's screaming and hollering the most? Academia. And everybody who went to those Ivy League schools, Kenyon College, Denison University, Muskingum College. Hey. Mount Vernon Nazarene College. Oh, yeah, they're liberals. Hell. Jeff,
They're liberal as hell. There ain't much difference between Kenyon College and Mount Vernon Nazarene College other than they put Nazarene on front of it. And Kenyon doesn't put Satan on the front of theirs. That's the only difference in the two. But that ain't none of them. Neither one of them teaching righteousness, God's standard. Neither one of them. Rochelle, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, I totally agree. Not just with the colleges, but with the schools. Every time the government wants to come in and fund these schools, it's agenda driven. Okay, they need to say no to the stupid money. And anyway, I wish that they weren't picking on these college. There are some college kids who are actually out there protesting. Look, you're supposed to have an open exchange of ideas, okay? Let's not kick people out for saying, look, if we're pro-life, why are we bombing children? Why? Over there in Gaza, 75% of that population is under the age of 25. 50% is under the age of 15 years old. And you can't even get statistics past January.
Right.
70% has been leveled. 92% of all housing has been leveled. So these people, it's been leveled. We're sending bombs over there. So for them to, it's just like the Vietnam War. No, you didn't want them protesting it when it was happening. But looking back at the atrocities that were actually going on, you can understand, yeah, maybe somebody should have been protesting this.
Well,
so
Rochelle,
I just wish it wasn't this topic that they were deporting people over.
Well, here's the truth. We don't want to go there with it, right? Israel is bombing Christians. They're bombing Christians. Folks, let me say that again. They're bombing Christians. You can love Israel if you want to. It's not anti-Semitic to say, by the way, they're bombing Christians there. They're bombing Christians. And since, can somebody help me out? Why is it that everybody's screaming about anti-Semitism? What? What about discrimination against short white guys? Caucasian white guys? What about discrimination there? What about discrimination against Christians? Why is it always anti-Semitism that we have to put a standard up against? That'll tell you something. Mary Jane Klein, that would be Jeff. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, you mentioned Nazarene College and Kenyon College.
Yep.
Ain't no difference. Kenyon College, you can look it up online. It's the name of that college, the nickname is the Gates of Hell.
They were the Episcopal. They were the Lords, Kenyan Lords, the Episcopal Church. Need we say more? Go ahead.
And they have the Nazarene, supposedly Christian college here, 7 miles down the road in Mount Vernon. These two, over the last few years, have been mingling together, doing events,
merging,
coming together. And they even have some Kenyan college students from the Gates of Hell mentoring kids at the high school, after school.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Our son went to Kenyon College for their year. Worst mistake we ever made. I was young, didn't know any better. Sent our barely Christian son, 18 years old. How Christian are you at 18 years old? Hopefully very Christian, but the reality of it is, into the pit of hell. Into the pit of hell. We've never been able to pull him back out of it. Not really. Not really. Joe Allen, come on in.
Could be mistaken, but didn't a Tavistock Society education started all this?
Tavistock? It goes back farther than that, man. It goes back to the garden. It goes back to the garden. It goes back to 1947 when they said there was a separation between the church and state, and they threw morality out of our educational system. No wonder they didn't throw it out. It changed morality. Now it's not wrong to be a homosexual. It's wrong to judge one. Right? Right? Pull up for me number two. We just don't listen. We don't listen. In 1973, they gave us the Humanist Manifesto. Humanism is a religion. You can look it up. Religious humanism. You can look it up. And they told us what they were going to do. Well, there's much that we do not know. Scroll down there. Humans are responsible for what we are or will become. No God, no deity will save us. We must save ourselves. Folks, that's a religion of your public school, and they call it, they say it's religion free. Scroll down. It is 40 years since Humanist Manifesto appeared. The events since then make that earlier statement seem far too optimistic. Nazism has shown the depths of brutality, yada, yada, yada. So it goes on down there. And in 1933, they wrote the Humanist Manifesto, a moral code that is the religion of America today. It is. It is. They put humanists on the Supreme Court, and they made humanism. Folks, are you looking at me? Atheism is a religion. It's a religion. Atheism. Theist, religion. A means not religious. No. In atheism, in humanism, the individual becomes God. It's all religious. We've bought a lie. It's all religion. There is no separation between humanism and the state. Humanism is a religion. Look, Google it. Well, wait a minute, scroll on down. Because the humanists call it a religion. They call it religious humanists. Religious humanists. Oh, boy. First, in the best sense, religion may inspire dedication to the highest ethical ideal. What are the highest ethical ideals? Who determines right and wrong in a humanistic society? Humanists give us abortion. We believe, however, that traditional dogma or authoritative religion that places revelation, God, ritual, creed above human needs and experience do a disservice to the human species. Any account of nature should pass the test of scientific evidence. And in our judgment, the dogmas and myths of traditional religions do not do so. Even at this late date in human history, certain elementary facts based upon the critical use of science reason have to be restated. We find insufficient evidence for belief in the existence of a supernatural. It is either meaningless or irrelevant to the question of survival and fulfillment of the human race. As non-theists, folks, they're not non-theists. God, they are God. As non-theists, we begin with humans, not God, nature, not deities. Nature may indeed be broader and deeper than we know, and any new discoveries, however, will but enlarge our knowledge of the natural. I could go on and on and on. This is the religion of the American society. Right there it is, humanism. You're paying for it. Some humanists believe we should reinterpret traditional religions and reinvest them with meanings appropriate to our current situation. Such redefinitions, however, often perpetrate old dependencies and escapisms, thus easy to become, I don't even know what that word, obscurantists, impeding the free use of the intellect. We need instead radically new human purposes and goals. When was this? Scroll up there, Spencer. When was this? 1933? I think this was written 1933. Look at that. Can anybody say Vietnam War? Tune in, turn on, drop out. If it feels good, do it. Huh? That's when it started, 1933. And then in 1973, all the universities, all these famous humanists took over the universities. Hang on a minute. One more thing. Go to communist goals. Go to number 3. So, Coach, I didn't know any of this. I know you didn't. Scrolling down. Let's get down to their goals. Scroll on down. Oh, okay. Here we go. This is the goal of the communists. Humanists, they're the same thing. Communists, humanists, same thing. Capture one or both political parties. Have they done that? Check. Get control of schools and teachers' associations. Soften the curriculum. Check. Control all student newspapers. Check. Infiltrate the press. Check. Gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and pictures. Check. Eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling in censorship. Make pornography so big that every man gets hooked on it. Check. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography, obscenity in the media. Check. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Infiltrate the churches. Replace revealed religion with social religion. Eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the grounds that it violates the principles of separation of church and state. Discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate and old-fashioned. Discredit the American founding fathers as selfish aristocrats and racists. Belittle American culture and discourage the teaching of American history. Discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. Infiltrate and gain control of big business and unions. Transfer some of the power of arrest from the police to social agencies. Treat all behavioral problems as mental health or social problems. Discredit the family. encourage promiscuity, easy divorce, emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of their parents, repeal the Connolly Reservation, allowing the world court jurisdiction over nations and individuals alike. Hey, Vinny, there'd be a good boom. Right there, Vinny, would be a boom. They told us they were going to do it, and they did it. It all lines up with the 45 goals of communism, and we still don't. When's the last time you heard your pastor talk about this? If you're a pastor and you haven't presented this evidence to your church, may I ask you why? Because you're helping people become so heavenly conscious that they're no earthly good. You have Christians sitting in your churches. You have Christians sitting in your churches whose sons and daughters are practicing homosexuality or engaging in sin. Because we don't understand, we're not ignorant of his devices, but we are ignorant of his devices. We are. And if we don't teach our people what's going on, if we don't teach them how to play the game, we're going to lose.
Amen.
We're losing. And the truth is, the church wants nothing to do with what we just saw. And they are the only safeguard against it. The gospel of the kingdom of God is the only safeguard against those 18 goals we just read. Come on in, Alan.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Just about everything you said in the past 3 minutes, it's all in Genesis chapter 3. It's all could be a, that'd be where it starts. That's the root of it, right? There's idolatry. And then it falls down from there, humanism, all that. Everything you said is 100% true, and we just, a lot of folks are just deceived and blinded to it, Coach.
That's right. Alan, they've given us a different gospel. Tell us we're not supposed to judge it, right? So you got a guy who's going out and looking at porn, you know, somebody who's going out on his wife, and you just look the other way, rather than going to him and say, dude, you got to stop doing that. You can't do that, man. See, we're not supposed to judge, right? We're not supposed to judge. Coach Dave. Who are you to judge, Coach? Love him. Jesus loves him. Tell him how much Jesus loves him. You better tell him how much God's angry at him. God's angry with the wicked every day. Spencer, I believe that's scripture. Maybe you can find that for me. God is angry with the wicked every day. By the way, well, hang on. Let's see here. God is angry with the wicked every day. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. When's the last time you heard that preached? Psalm 11. Oh, my goodness. Lord, help us. Lord, help. Somebody come on in here. I'm doing pretty good today, aren't I? Because I ain't never heard anything like this in my church. I know. That's why we're in the mess we're in. Jesus loves everybody. Come just as you are. Come on. Come on in. Come on in. Come on. Come in. Do whatever you want to here. Jesus loves you. He don't want to judge anybody. He's just nicest old guy. He sits right next to Santa Claus. God does. Dave Allison.
Hey, Spencer, could you bring up 1 Peter chapter 4?
It's the fear of the Lord. Beginning of knowledge. Beginning of wisdom.
Go on down to verse 12. This is something that they don't preach in church. Beloved, think not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as to some, as though some strange thing has happened to you.
Amen, brother. So,
but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, be glorified.
Amen.
So, Coach, again, this is something I've heard so often people say, why would God make us go through tribulation? It just doesn't make any sense. People don't realize that's a subtle lie from the devil, just like he told Eve in the garden, why would God forbid you from eating that fruit? It looks so good. But that doesn't make any sense to me. But what is said here in 1 Peter, that doesn't make any sense either. Why would we rejoice in suffering for the cause of Christ? Why would God put us through fiery trials for us to endure and learn and grow? And so much of the stuff, you know, again, it's the subtle lies you've talked about all along that are told in the church, and we're paying a high price for it. We're told we believe that when we come to Christ, we're not going to suffer, endure any suffering, right? Mm. But here in 1 Peter states very clearly that this is going to happen, but rejoice in it, that God is working in us in the suffering. Thanks.
David says, but let none of you suffer. In other words, don't whine and moan if you're a murderer or if you're a thief or if you're an evildoer or a busybody. Hey, don't, if they're saying, don't worry about that. Yet if any man, 16, yet if any man suffers as a Christian, well, evidently a Christian isn't a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a busybody. Yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is coming that judgment must begin where? And if it begins with us, what's going to be the end of them that don't obey the gospel? And if the righteous can scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. You mean suffering is part of the will of God? That's what it says. Wherefore, them that suffer. Coach Dave used to make him suffer running sprints according to the will of Coach Dave, the keeping of the souls to him and well-doing as unto a faithful creator. I ran sprints because it made him tougher. Persecution's good for us. Roger.
Yeah, Coach. You know, as far as college, you know, you look under the surface. Why does Yale have a Skull and Bone Society?
Why do they?
Who are they aligned with? They're aligned with Lucifer.
Amen.
And this is what they're taking kids, and they're turning them into communists, and then they're getting them to be obedient to the devil himself.
They come out of these colleges,
they go into public office, and that's where they get these people from.
George W. Bush and John Kerry are members of the Skull and Bones.
Right? Yep. And so it's a Luciferic breeding ground.
It is. And we're paying for it. And Donald Trump says we're not going to pay for it anymore. So, Spencer, I just Googled the most expensive universities in America. Pepperdine University, $100,000 a year. So you send your kid to Pepperdine University, and he'll come out $500,000. Why does it cost so much to go to college? Why does that cost so much? $100,000. Northwestern University, $90,000. University of Chicago, $90,000 a year. And then they put those people in political posts. Positions. Oh, yeah. Public education is free. College education, you got to mortgage your home. And then they create little communists. Come on in, George. We're about out of time here.
Could be their initiation fee to get the DC.
There you go, man. Pay that $400,000 initiation fee. By the way, we're giving Harvard and Yale tax dollars. They're charging $100,000 a year. What are we giving them the tax dollars for? What possibly could we be doing other than the professors are probably making $500,000 to teach communism to the children, undermining everything that Christians did in their home, everything. So if I had it to do over again, I would have sent all of our children to Christian universities. However, I don't even know if such a thing exists anymore, to be honest with you. Hillsdale College, Abby went to Hillsdale. That might be about as close. Grove City College used to be, but they're wavering. Folks, infiltration. Government gets involved. You let government get involved in your university, and the government tells you what they can do, right? It's like you come to my house to eat. I say it's free, but you're going to eat what I give you. So you can get a free ride to Harvard, but you're going to eat what they give you. Hmm? Oh, yeah. Yeah. They got a menu. They're going to feed you off of that menu. And I'm going to promise you this. Your child's coming home a different child than what you sent. Wow. A lot of stuff today, man. A lot of stuff. We're in a war. See you tomorrow.